Hey, this is This Week in Self-Hosted. I'm your host, Ethan. Today, I am joined by Zach Pollard, one of the developers on the Image team. Zach, thanks so much for joining me. Should we jump right into it?
Yeah, I think let's get straight into it.
Cool. So a lot going on, as usual, in this week's newsletter and the self-hosted community. I want to kick off with just a couple things I call out before I actually jump into the news section. I'm sure most people who follow this series and newsletter are familiar with Blue Sky and the influx of users who are joining Blue Sky just as a result of everything going on socially and politically. And I try very intentionally not to get into that in the newsletter, but I call out that I did join Blue Sky this week, and not to kind of like toot my own horn or anything, but if you're not aware, any of our listeners are not aware, Blue Sky has this thing, this concept called starter packs, where people can create essentially lists of people on Blue Sky that they would recommend for following for a topic. So when I joined this week, I wasn't sure who to follow or how to find other people from other social networks. So I actually created a self-hosting starter pack on Blue Sky this week and have started compiling just people who post about open source and self-hosted software on Blue Sky as an easy way for people who are joining to find other content creators. Zach, I remember from our podcast interview a couple months ago that Image didn't really have much of a social presence. Has that changed at all?
Not particularly. I mean, we still don't have really any socials. We made a Twitter X account recently. I'll forever call it Twitter, I think. I don't think it'll ever change. But yeah, we don't have Blue Sky. I think one of our contributors made like a Facebook group, which apparently has got quite a few people, but I don't think any of us are in it. We don't really have much outside of Discord, really.
Yeah, I think when we chatted about this, we talked about just the amount of bandwidth it takes to run a Discord server and, you know, possibly not wanting to add on to that. So I completely understand. I wouldn't even want to manage a Discord server myself. I find it hard enough to stay on top of social media. I think Blue Sky is interesting because it's not necessarily just another X clone. It does have this underlying protocol called Atmosphere that is very similar, I think, to Mastodon and the Fediverse as far as people can self-host different parts of it. I think it's broken up into more microservices than the Fediverse is. And I'm not quite sure it can be completely self-hosted yet, but I actually do see Blue Sky being a little more adjacent to self-hosting than X. So I think in the coming months, people will probably see me talk about it a little more. And it's not for any reason other than just that adjacency that I'm calling out here. So I want to move on. As I said, I know we have a lot going on. Shifting over to the Fediverse a little bit. One of the articles I have in the news section this week is a first look at an app called Loops, which is actually developed by the PixelFed creator. This might sound gibberish if you're not at all familiar with the Fediverse or anyone who's listening to this. PixelFed is essentially an Instagram clone for the Fediverse. So people who want to just do photo sharing, it's very similar. It's a very great platform, really cool mobile apps as well that work really well. Loops is essentially the TikTok version for the Fediverse. So it is just videos that you can share. You can scroll through kind of that vertical feed. And that's launched more recently. I think it's been in beta for a bit and people could sign up and be accepted into the beta. But it's more widely available now. So if anyone's looking to get away from TikTok and looking for a self-hosted alternative, although I don't think the source code is available for Loops yet, that's out there. Zach, I'll assume you and Image aren't a part of the Fediverse either, if you're limited to X, is that correct?
We aren't on any of that that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, Loops as a concept is interesting. I think it's great for people who just want to share stuff. I'm just interested, I think, in general about things that rival like TikTok, try and rival like YouTube and stuff like that in the self-hosted or like Fediverse space. Like, I don't know how they attract the bigger creators. Like, will bigger creators get onto that kind of stuff? Because I think that at the end it comes down to advertising and monetization and that kind of thing. I'm just interested how those problems eventually get solved and in these areas.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm not sure that they've been solved ever. And I think that's a Fediverse thing.
Yeah.
I know it's grown a lot in the past couple of years with everything going on, people trying to get away from big tech. But I think if you look at the growth of the Fediverse versus even Blue Sky recently, Blue Sky is blowing it out of the water because it's been able to get some of those bigger names over to the platform, where the Fediverse is struggling. And to your point, I don't know how things like Pixel Fed and Loops get the big names there as well. And so it does feel like we often end up with really great open source apps that are great alternatives for some of these hosted services, but not people aren't quite using them because it's hard to get people to some of those bigger name celebrities and whoever else people follow to move over to these platforms. I agree with that 100%.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's one of those things that people don't necessarily want to be solved, like people that are consumers of the apps, because they don't want the advertising and they don't want to see it. Like, it's maybe half the reason that people are using these things. But at the end of the day, the whole reason that people do this job is to get paid. And I think it's one of the things that's overlooked. Like with like YouTube, you've got like sponsor block and like ad block for all the YouTube ads, which does impact revenue. And some people are okay with that stuff and some people aren't. But I think like other platforms just don't have those things. So yeah, I am interested. I've heard people with ideas of how to do it in like a more fairly distributed way. But at the end of the day, advertising is what pays the big money for a lot of these things. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll absolutely keep an eye on it myself. I did sign up and was accepted into the Loops program, so I have an account. Haven't posted any videos. I have absolutely no idea what to post. I browse TikTok, but I've never posted TikTok videos either, so I guess I need to figure that out. But I'm going to pivot here into our next news item, which I know you will have some thoughts on because you are a home assistant guy. They released their roadmap for their year-end roadmap recently. And it's interesting if you're a Home Assistant user to go in and just read that and just see what's coming. And it's interesting to see how that flow goes. But one of the reasons I included and I wanted to talk about it a little bit is because the roadmap actually I saw popped up on Reddit because they have some screenshots or some photos in the roadmap article of some upcoming voice hardware that they're working on and they're going to release. They've been through the whole year of voice stuff and trying to integrate this idea of using your voice to control your smart home into Home Assistant, because that's one of the biggest benefits people get from external platforms like Google Home or Alexa or something. And so they have some really cool looking hardware that they were showing off a little bit, and it makes me excited. Admittedly, I haven't jumped into voice at all with my smart home. I do have a pretty extensive smart home, but that's been a little intimidating for me. Where are you with that, Zach?
So right now I just use Google Home and have all the stuff like synced between Home Assistant and Google Home. So, but that was more just because I had Google Home before Home Assistant. So I had all the devices. But yeah, I've definitely been keeping an eye on the voice stuff. I haven't tried it out yet, but I really wanted to give the voice satellite hardware a go when that does come out. I think it'll be super interesting to see how well that works. I actually saw they had a webpage up for training their wake word stuff. So you could go on there and basically kind of similar to what Google does when you first set up Google Home, it will ask you to say like, "Hey Google," like, mine is going to start responding now. I shouldn't have said that. and it will say all that. It asks you to say all those different phrases that it can do, but it's the same thing. But they're training like a big model to recognize anyone saying it. Is the idea? So yeah, I think the more people go and do that, the better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really interested for that hardware to come out. I think it'll be really cool.
Yeah, and there's also, it's escaping me at the moment, there's software out there where you can also train it so that your voice is the voice of your voice assistant, which I know just said voice like four times in a single sentence, which is really cool to me. Again, I feel like it probably takes a little more time than I have right now to sit down and just record a bunch of sentences. But that idea is really novel to me as well, that I could be like talking to myself as I'm controlling my lights and stuff. But I remember I looked into this like a year ago or something, all the voice stuff. And at the time there was some lag, I think, between when people were giving voice commands and just the time it took, I don't know, their Raspberry Pi or whatever was listening to send the command to the server for the server to interpret that command and then to send a response back. I think I've read that that's improved yet, but I remember that being one of the hangups for me as far as like, okay, I don't think I'm ready to try this yet.
Yeah. But to be fair, I think like Google Home itself is like pretty bad for latency in general. Like its recognition speed, it still has to go send that off to Google servers and like translate it, then reply to the device, and then the device maybe has to go back to the internet to control that device. So it's also not particularly great, to be honest. I saw the ChatGPT, I think it's 4.0 like demonstration, and that was pretty cool. If you that was a couple months ago now, I think, where mm-hmm. they had having a full-on conversation, and the latency on that's pretty low, like almost a normal conversation. Like one of the things I've always been interested in since all this, like since general ChatGPT like models have been exploding in popularity and what they're able to do, I really want to see like a model that you can just throw all of your like essentially Home Assistant like entities at. And it just, you don't have to program it. Because I think one of the things you have to do with Home Assistant still is like put in the prompts that you want. I'm not too well versed in how it's all set up at the moment.
Right.
But I think ChatGPT or one of those style models like Llama or whatever, they could be really good for that kind of thing. Like taking all of the entities you have as context and then you say, like, turn on this light, and it's like, oh, well, I have that light in this context. Then I can go and tell Home Assistant to go and turn it on.
Yeah, I think
still hallucinate, but, you know.
Yeah, I remember talking to some of the Home Assistant folks, and the release of AI was, like, really great for them because it opened up a lot of possibilities for them and automation that they might not have otherwise had easy access to. So I think we're going to see Home Assistant lean into that a lot, whether it's like ChatGPT or AI that people can self-host.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pivot. I know we have some cool software coming up, and actually a lot of image things happening this week that I love the timing of having you on versus with some of these things coming out that I want to jump into. First, I do want to kick off with just a notice to people listening who are using self-hosted music or audio streaming servers. There's a very well-known desktop client for things like Subsonic and Navidrome called Fission that I often see recommended across self-hosted communities for people who are looking at ways to stream their music. That Fission had a release this week, and with the release, it actually went into maintenance mode because the developer is actually shifting their focus to a new kind of a rewrite of the client called Audioling. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. There are no releases. I think in the repo, they talk about targeting something for later this year for having a release for people to try out. But I think Fission was initially a fork of another project. And so I think this is just the developer's way of kind of starting over and building it from the ground up how they want it to be, so they have a little more flexibility as they work towards more and better features. So if you're using Fission, just be aware of that. I'll obviously continue updating on Audioling and Fission in the newsletter moving forward, but that is happening, just so you're aware of that. And then some other things, both in software updates and new software this week. There are, Zach, you and I talked a little bit about this before we started recording, a bunch of image companion projects popping up, and notably projects that are enabling sharing image assets without exposing the image instance or its API itself. which I think is novel and a cool idea. This week, the third project has popped up, I think, in the last month that does this. So I think in the proxy for image is what this one's called. There's an update that I included the updates for the first one that came out called Image Public Proxy, which is the first one. And this one came out, I think, a month ago and initially required someone to use a different subdomain to serve the share URL on versus what image is hosted on. And now this week they dropped a release that allows it to share a domain or a subdomain with image. I assume the image team that all of you have had an eye on these things as they've been popping up.
Yeah, we've seen some of them for sure. It's definitely interesting. Like, I think as projects get bigger, this kind of stuff's to be expected. But yeah, it's as I was saying to you before the show, it's interesting that people like are making these things, and then because people don't want to expose image itself like publicly, but then they're happy to expose these things publicly, which may also have their own problems.
Yes, absolutely.
I think again, as I said before, like it's definitely a reduced risk because they've got less endpoints. Like, you've got less surface area. That's always a good thing to reduce, is your attackable surface area. But yeah, they're all very interesting. I don't personally run any of them myself. I just have my instance public and roll with that. Having parents using it, not having it public isn't really an option. And
yeah,
getting them to use stuff fair. Like Tailscale and that kind of thing is just another barrier for them to have to get through to use it, and they just probably wouldn't. So
yeah, that's more of a headache than anything. I think I understand why these projects exist, because I think photos are one of those sensitive things for people that they love the idea that they can self-host it, but it's just a little intimidating, the idea of exposing all of their photos to the internet if something happens. So I get why the demand is there, and not to put you on the spot or anything, but clearly there's demand for something like this, is this something that could be built into Image in some way that Image could officially support the idea of, okay, you don't want your instance public, but you want to be able to share things publicly. We can do this for you rather than having to rely on some of these other projects.
I think that's it's an interesting one. I think it's one of the things where we'd probably say that it's not something we want to look at for Image to support, and it is something that is better served by the community or like by your reverse proxy itself. Like, you can do exactly this with the reverse proxy you probably already have set up in front of Image. It's just that I think a lot of people don't really have the knowledge of how to do that kind of thing. So maybe it's something we could document on how you could do, like, directly with your reverse proxy, like what you could expose. I have settings for exposing publicly versus not. The issue is then keeping that up to date if our endpoints change, or given Image isn't in a stable place yet, there's still potentials of like APIs changing and the page URLs changing and that kind of thing. So
yeah, are you talking about something maybe like just blocking external IP addresses from accessing certain paths within Image when you're configuring your proxy? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, you could set that up in a reverse proxy itself. So you could say everything's accessible on your local network, but only these URLs are accessible externally. Don't allow anything that has auth access, for example. You could do.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I'm thinking about, I'm a Caddy user. I'm thinking about how I would do that with Caddy, and it seems pretty straightforward, but to your point, I think Image is a gateway for a lot of people into self-hosting, because I think like photo hosting is one of the things that people initially are like, hey, I need to get away from hosted services. This is kind of the first push into self-hosting. So I can see how daunting that might be to people who aren't necessarily familiar with self-hosting and proxies. So I completely get that.
Which also scares me a lot when we're dealing with, when we're chatting to people on our Discord server, and these guys are like, oh, I've never I've never ran something before. I don't understand how this works. And we're like, we're always helping out. But like, it terrifies me how many, like how much photo data is now in image that isn't backed up, is being run by people that don't understand backups, don't understand that hardware can fail and you can lose everything, and or don't like test their backup process. Like, one of the things that always worries me is that image is like an enabler for people to lose their data. Because if they move everything from like Google Photos into image, right, and they don't have any experience, and they don't have it backed up anywhere, and that hard drive fails, then it's all potentially gone, right? Yeah, which is one of the things we want to eventually like make easy to solve, like with like online, like our own backup solution, like end-to-end encrypted backup solution. And we made the first step towards backups with automated database of backups recently, mm-hmm. to your local. But that's one of the things we see a lot, is people will try and update. The update will fail for whatever reason, because there was a breaking change they didn't pay attention to, or they just break something in their database and they need to roll back, but they don't have database backups. So now any default image installation will have database backups for 14 days automatically. So we hopefully can help more people if they do somehow break their database. But
yeah, I think that's smart. And it's funny, as many warnings as your team gives people regarding that, I think if I recall correctly, at the top of the image repo, it's like, hey, this does not have a stable release yet. Do not use it as the only solution for storing your photos. I think it's evident from the amount of times people blindly update image without reading the release notes and breaking changes that people just don't read that stuff. So that is certainly an obstacle that you guys have to face. Have you ever used Uptime Kuma, which is like a service monitoring application that can be self-hosted?
Yeah, I have used Uptime Kuma before.
Okay, the reason I'm asking what I'm using
right now.
yeah, I do too. I don't use this particular functionality, but talking about reverse proxy and just kind of helping people do something securely, Uptime Kuma, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but I remember when the release came out, and I can picture in my mind the settings within Uptime Kuma when you're going through it. It has like built-in support for Cloudflare tunnels, actually. So it's pretty much like, hey, we recognize that people who are running this might not have all the knowledge, so we're going to help you figure out how to make this publicly available or to proxy it without having to go through all the pain of having to spin up something else and then learn how to use that. So not saying that image should necessarily go in that direction, because it's one more thing you'd have to maintain, but maybe something to consider if you feel like you have enough image users who are just blindly making things publicly available without understanding the implications. Maybe there's like an image, just a separate Docker image that includes some sort of functionality like that for people who need it. Might be something to consider. I don't know. That's probably more complexity than your team wants to get into.
Yeah, it's another interesting thing, because we also have a problem with people using Cloudflare proxy and tunnels. Basically, Cloudflare has like a limit on the upload size for free account. So
right.
It's like 100 megabytes is the maximum file size. And image doesn't currently support chunking your uploads. So if you use proxy, it's like one of the most frequent things we get in the Discord is people saying, oh, the uploads aren't working. We're like, are you using Cloudflare proxy? And the answer is almost always yes. And if it's no, then it's probably their reverse proxy. But generally, it's Cloudflare proxy breaking the uploads past a certain point, which is a problem for video. So, yeah. Hopefully, at some point, that won't be a problem, because we will implement chunking. But, we've not got around to that yet. It's a whole separate fun problem to solve.
Okay. Well, disregard my idea then. That's not helpful for you. Okay. So, Zach, anything else stick out to you in terms of software that had significant updates this week, or even new software, whether it's just launched this week or something I added to the directory?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple. I think just in general, I'm just always amazed how much new software is coming out just in general.
Agreed.
And how many problems that I didn't even realize were problems are being solved by software. Like I had never seen like I think the top one in the update list, like the bar assistant. I'm like, that's just a very cool piece of software mm-hmm. that solves a very specific problem.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't have any use for that right now, but I like want to have it anyway. Just like, just seems cool.
Absolutely. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. And then another one that stood out was like the wedding share one, the bottom of the new software. Because I actually have been using, I've had a couple of weddings that I've been to, and I've been providing like basically an image link for them, like just mm-hmm. as a QR code, and then everyone can dump their photos in this. But this seems like such a good idea if you don't want to have, if you just want to only spin this up for your event or whatever.
Right.
This is very, presumably very lightweight. It's just a very cool idea. I think
yeah, if you don't want
like
the
yeah, if you don't want to have like the whole of image setup, you don't need all the machine learning and all that stuff, right? That doesn't matter for a wedding, for a one time event like this. I think it's a very interesting idea.
I
think
I
one of the problems is like getting all those people to send you all their photos. Like when I've done these events, I've been to these events and provide these links. Like we've got loads of people uploading their stuff just because it's so simple, but I feel like you just wouldn't get that. Or the maybe the worst option is that you get it but it comes through like WhatsApp all compressed and horrible, or through some other chat app where yeah it's going to be compressed and mm-hmm. you're not going to get those full quality photos that maybe you want to print out.
Yeah, this is so. Like the modern version of sticking a digital camera at everyone's table at your wedding.
Yeah.
So they can take pictures yeah. and then you have them to develop later, or disposable yeah. cameras. I don't know if I said digital or disposable, but the disposable cameras.
Yeah, disposable. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And on that, I actually saw they're now like, they're bringing film cameras back as like a thing now. I think it's like like one of those things that comes back and it's now all retro.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're bringing film cameras back as like this cool retro thing to have.
Yeah, that must be like maybe the older we'll get, we'll notice this like generational thing doing that. Because I just read an article this week that was also talking about Barnes and Noble coming back and the concept of physical bookstores. So it's yeah. interesting to see like the cycle of what goes out of style and then what comes back. And so physical bookstores and film cameras, I guess, are some of those things.
Yeah, I just wouldn't even know where to get a film developed now.
Walmart, maybe? CVS, yeah, well, I don't know. Staples?
Yeah.
Yeah. The app that I wanted, that caught my eye this week, someone actually reached out to me and recommended it, is an app called Listen. It's an Android client app for Audio Bookshelf. Do you deploy Audio Bookshelf or anything to stream podcasts and audiobooks?
Kind of. I put it into Plex and Jellyfin. Okay. Like I just use that. I don't really do audiobooks too much, so I have a setup for it, but I don't do it that often, so I don't have audiobook self set up.
Got it. Well, Listen is a modern minimal style app for Audio Bookshelf, which I really appreciate. I love Audio Bookshelf, so I would not want to disparage it at all. I recommend it to everyone who's listening to podcasts and audiobooks. It has a lot of great features, and it has mobile apps, first-party mobile apps that are also really solid. But until I saw Listen this week, I didn't realize how clunky and dated Audio Bookshelf's interface is. And so it's like one of those things, I don't know why I'm drawn to nice interfaces, even though functionally I have everything through Audio Bookshelf's apps. So I've been spinning this up and trying it. I found it to be like a nice modern alternative to what's available. So if anyone else is similar to me and looking for that, I would recommend checking Listen out for sure. I just want to pivot really quickly to breaking changes. There were a few this week. Anyone running Lean Time with it, which is a project management applications, there's some event name changes that might break things when you update, so be cognizant of that. And then Sterling PDF is a PDF editor that is very, very popular in the community. very well regarded. Their Docker image is updating. So wherever you have your Docker command or compose file pointing to, note in the newsletter, you can click through to the repo. They talk about there that that's changing. It's not going to impact you right now if you don't change it, but in the coming months, they are going to completely switch over. And if you're not pointing to that, you're not going to get updates anymore. So just FYI.
Yeah, I was quite happy that that we managed to avoid the breaking changes this week.
Yeah. I saw the image update come through and I was like, wow, this is like a very nice, stable, not going to break anything once I update it. Release this week. Normally, I don't even release to the 0.0 releases that image drops because I feel like it's always like 0.0 and then 0.1 and 0.2 a couple days later as people find things. But I don't think that happened this week, did it?
I think we still had a 0.1 and 0.2. But yeah, I get a lot of people doing that where they're like, I'll wait till the 0.1 or 0.2 release.
It's funny, it never affects me. I think people use image a lot more thoroughly than I do. But every time I see the fix, I'm like, oh, I don't think I would have ever noticed that anyway. So I don't know why I wait, but I do.
Usually. They're generally pretty minor fixes. Usually.
That's what I thought. I was just going to end on the community content section here. Had a couple interesting articles. The one here, I've noticed CirxNG has been getting a lot of publicity lately, and I'm not quite sure what's driving that. Like, I understand the push to have your own kind of like cookie-less private search engine via Google and getting the capabilities of that. But I don't know what's happened in the last month or two that seems to be driving this, but it is. And this week I found an article that talks about integrating Bookstack with it. So when you use your CirxNG service or proxy, not only are you getting results from Google or whatever other search engines you might be plugging it into, but you'll also get results from your Bookstack instance, which is a popular wiki application that people deploy. So I think it's a cool demonstration of the capability CirxNG has if you're one of those people who's jumped on the privacy train recently or are deploying that. There's another article. Again, I feel like this week it's like Fediverse and new image apps seems to be the theme of this week's newsletter. There's an account I follow on the Fediverse, Stefan, who has a lot of really cool resources if you're a Fediverse/Mastodon user. But he in particular runs 50 different bot accounts for the Fediverse that do different things. And one of the popular servers that hosted bots recently shut down or announced they're shutting down. And so this article is just about him figuring out what he's going to do with his bot accounts now that that server's shutting down. And eventually he moves to his own self-hosted instance of Mastodon, which is possible if you weren't aware. And that's why I talk about the Fediverse a lot, because it is very capable in terms of being able to self-host. So I found that particularly interesting as well. And with that being said, I think there's some other great content here. Scratch Map as the spotlight this week. Travel tracking maps has both world maps and maps for specific countries for marking off states and territories if you're interested in something like that. And then a bunch of great YouTube content this week for people who are looking to spin something up, but like kind of that guided approach where they're doing it alongside someone else. So, Zach, did I miss anything that you wanted to discuss as we work through this week's draft?
No, I don't think so. I was just going to say, I think the Scratch Map thing is really cool. I'm probably going to set that up for myself.
Another like I didn't know I needed this, but now that I see it, I want it type apps.
Yeah, definitely.
So cool. Well, thanks everyone for joining. Appreciate listening. I will obviously, all of the links in the newsletter will be in the newsletter that's published today. I will include all other links that aren't in the newsletter that we've discussed in the video description or the podcast description if you're listening to this instead of watching it. Zach, is there anywhere people can find you or the image team if they want to connect with you after hearing our conversation today?
I think just the Discord, which you can find with discord.image.app or go via the GitHub, it's on there. Also we'll be a few of us will be at FOSDEM in the 1st and 2nd of February 2025. We'll have a stand on the 2nd, so if anyone wants to come say hi, we'll be there. He's in Brussels, so.
Cool. That sounds great. And let this also serve as a regular public service announcement that if you do not read your image release notes before you update your instance, you are a bad person and you should. And doing so will help Zach and team not have such an influx of issues when when they release a new update weekly or biweekly, yeah, whatever the cadence is. So anyway, thanks again, Zach, for joining me. Again, I'm Ethan. You can find me at my website, Selfhost, which is selfh.st. Otherwise, have a great weekend and happy self-hosting.
Cool. Thanks for having me.